And so thank you for one that fits.
Amen.
I'm not into the tight little sexy look. I'm not into that. Okay, and Brenda Shields sent me a birthday card too, Pastor Ben.
Oh, yeah?
So I just want to show the... Look at that, it says 60. Ouch.
Wow.
I was like, whose card is this? I don't know anybody that's 60. Wow. It's yours.
Welcome to the club.
Okay, I'm going to read it tomorrow at Hebrew class. And then... send me this one. Oh, I got it. Felicia Beasley sent me this one. This is the boat trip.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going to read it tomorrow when we have more time. But look at the inside.
Oh, I like that.
Didn't see that coming. Wow, I love that.
Oh, hold up again. Barb, she said Barb didn't see it.
See that?
That's cute.
Okay, and then, that's from our friends across the way. And then this is from the Andersons. And this is, come on, you guys. They sent me, well, anyway, I'll read it tomorrow. But they sent me a nice birthday gift.
Amen.
And I want to thank them as well, so. And that's about it right now. So, and then I got a card from our friends at Church of the Servant King.
Oh, yeah.
Which
yeah.
is a very, very good church. When they're doing Jesus stuff.
Yeah.
It was getting a little strange. Okay, Linda and John Anderson, and they're from... Oh, they're from Smyrna Beach, Florida, New Smyrna Beach, Florida. So I wonder, I never been there. But, oh, and there's my wife, Drea. I got a lot of gifts, but none for you, just for me.
Doggy.
Yeah.
You gonna read your letter, Pastor Ben?
Huh?
You gonna read the letter from my
brother? Yeah, I gotta get my notes back up here.
And then read the letter. And the notes.
Okay, you guys, let's do Elohim Tov.
Kol Hazman.
See, there are people here. Kol Hazman.
Elohim Tov.
God is good all the time. Now, let me read this. Okay, now this happened last week. As I was saying, the Lord said, you're not going to celebrate your birthday here. And then he said, you know, do you believe what I'm saying? I was like, yeah. So anyway, I went back and forth with this, with the Lord, like, should I say it? Can I say it? I never do this. What about this? Blah, 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 blah. And, so anyway, I ended up finally saying it. Then I said it again on Thursday. And then, so, since I was saying it, that, you know, rapture soon and my birthday's on the 26th, it says, Elizabeth McKinnon sent us this. Would you also kindly tell Pastor Sandy that because Pastor Oliver in Pakistan got stirred up by the teaching and the urgency of the hour, the Lord steered him up. Last week, he gave an invitation to a local Hindu community. We put together a youth night and invited over 200 Hindu youth. 120, that's a great number, accepted Jesus Christ and fell to the ground weeping and repenting.
I never put that together, the 120.
Yeah. Weeping and repenting. And it says, I would love the opportunity to talk to Pastor Sandy and tell him firsthand how the Lord is using his teaching in Pakistan. I live in Vancouver, British Columbia. Shalom, Elizabeth McKinnon. So from me saying, oh, it's coming so fast, I'm not even going to be mm-hmm. my birthday, mm-hmm. God somehow used that and to make emergency meeting and then 120 people get saved. Okay. So if that's why God had me do it, I think 120 souls is worth more than being right. What do you think?
Amen.
Amen.
And we've been preaching about 120 for how long?
Since January 1st, 2020 or whatever. Okay. So that is a blessing. But I want you guys to know I did get the normal 2010 letters. Remember the 2010?
Oh, yes.
Okay, no. Because people are like, you said that, you know, it was going to be on your birthday, that you wouldn't celebrate your birthday here. And that's what the Lord said. And I didn't celebrate my birthday here. I was like, I'm not celebrating so I can fulfill prophecy. But I didn't. No candle, no nothing. Drea didn't sing to me. She didn't bring me a cake home. Nobody. It was like no celebration. All I did was yard work and fix my lawnmower. Okay, so it was not a celebration. Anyway, but my neighbors, and I have to have a talk with them. They're learning the trumpet at the wrong time.
No. They blew the trumpet.
You know, they're musicians. Pastor Ben, they are musicians. They are musicians.
That's funny.
Sometimes they used to play the drums, and I was telling them, dude, when you play the drums, I can hear you in my living room. It's like you're there. So they stopped playing the drums. Then they picked up piano. I was like, well, that's kind of nice.
Right.
And then they picked up, I think, the violin or something. I was like, okay. But lately, now they're all into the trumpet and the sax. So, of course, I wake up, like, and then it wouldn't stop. And I'm like, where is that coming from? I was like, the Lord must want me to go outside and see so I could go up, right? No. So I go outside, and it's coming from next door. And
that's
I'm like,
funny.
They have really got to get it together. Or I got to let them know. Okay, so... So one person did say, you know, she was really disappointed, and if maybe the Lord didn't call me to get people ready for the rapture, and maybe the Lord doesn't speak to you, and all of this stuff, you know. And I apologize to her because I can't apologize to her fully because I think me not saying it would have been being disappointed. I mean, being disobedient to God, or being fearful, okay? So I did say it. I'm glad they have this. I'm glad somebody heard it and said, well, we got to get these kids together and get them to accept Christ so that they can get saved. So I'm glad this happened. But, she sent me, and then it was a whole thing about maybe, you know, you didn't hear, and maybe God didn't call you to get people ready for the rapture. So I'm going to read what I wrote her back. And I'm not mentioning her name because I'm not trying to put anybody on Front Street. Okay. And it said, I knew it was coming because I've been through this. Right, Pastor Ben?
Right.
It says, I have been in this. Huh? Yeah. Well, in 2017. Okay. And it says, I've been in this calling for 18 years. I don't expect anyone to do this with me. It is my calling. God told me years ago, it's not your job to be right. It's your job to be obedient. I can't stop being obedient. This is what I'm writing back to her. I know that the last generation is here. I only have 2021 left to do this. Then I must just preach the gospel, Hebrew, biblical history. The rapture is a tough calling. People love you when they think you're right, and they hate you if you are wrong. I told Scotty Clark this years ago. I still pray for him. I will finish my calling. If God did this so that 120 people in another country would come to Christ, then who am I to complain? Yes, that did happen. People say, I love you, Pastor. I am with you until the cloud party. In my mind, I know when scoffers come, family members make fun of you, and dates come and go, we will see, then we will see whether you are with me or not. I don't blame anyone who says, Pastor, I can't do it anymore, And I don't, because it's a tough thing to do.
Yeah.
And your family is like, there ain't no rapture. You just get tired, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't blame anybody who says they can't do it anymore. Just live for Christ. Stay in your word. That would be fine.
Amen.
And I said, I love them, and I pray for them, and I would do anything for them but stop being obedient to what God called me to do. Sorry about my last email, because when she sent me the email, I went, oh, yeah, you're absolutely right. You should just get rid of me. I'm no good. And then I just, and I sent it back. But I don't think that was the right attitude. I should have prayed first.
Amen.
Then it said, but I have been here before. That's why.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, but one day I will stand before God with my mouth shut, waiting and hoping to hear, well done. Praise God.
Amen.
And then Proverbs 13:12, the Lord gave me this verse. It says, hope deferred makes the heart sick.
Yeah.
But a longing fulfilled is a tree of life.
Yeah.
So God knows that when a hope gets deferred, it can make your heart really bitter and sad. But he says the fulfillment of this is going to be a great joy. Praise God.
Amen.
All right. Praise God. So now I want to read to you what the Lord sent me to the next. And I asked, Lord, give me what you want me to speak on. And he said, Luke chapter 24. And so let's read Luke chapter 24. And the Lord said, is the saddest chapter in the Bible. And you'll see why. I didn't understand how it could be the saddest chapter in the Bible. There's some pretty, a crucifixion could be a sad one, but God probably saw that as victory.
Right.
But this one here, in Luke chapter 24, the Lord said, this is the saddest chapter in the Bible. Read through it and explain why. You in Luke chapter 24? And I am right now. Here it goes. It says, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had and prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men clothed in that gleamed like lightning stood beside them in their fright. The women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day raise again. Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Jonah, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. Now, here comes the sad part. Not that the first part, they didn't believe him, because they're telling him We got to the tomb. The stone was rolled back. We went inside, and the body was gone. And we walked out, and there's two large men with their clothes glowing like light, and they tell us, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead?" And we were afraid, and we bowed down, and he said, "He's not here. He told you that he was going to be crucified, and that on the third day he'd raise again." Now, they're telling this to the apostles, and the apostles are listening to them like, "Yeah, two men with glowing clothes, right?" So, even though they were with Jesus every day, you guys got to understand that. It was the apostles that saw the miracles.
Yeah.
It was the apostles that he told that he was going to be crucified and be raised again. So, at some time, they weren't listening to the message, okay? Yeah. So let's get to verse 13. Now the same two of them were going to the village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And they talked and discussed these things with each other. Jesus himself came and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" And they stood still with their faces downcast. So they're walking to Emmaus and they're talking about all the sadness, like, "I would, you know, what happened to Jesus, you know, and we were following him, and we were," and then, so this is what it says. It says they stood still with their face downcast, and one of them named Cleopas asked him, "Are you the only visitor in Jerusalem, and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And then Jesus goes, "What things?" It says, "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what more, it has been the third day since all these things took place." So now, listen, this is why this is sad. They walked with Jesus every day. They saw him heal people. He talked to them. He ministered with them. And they had hoped, they said, "We had hoped that he was going to be the one who would redeem Israel and all of these things," right? They had hoped. But now, because he got crucified, even though he told them he was going to be raised on the third day, he got crucified, they've lost all hope that anything positive is going to happen now. They already crucified him.
Wow.
Okay? And so, this is Jesus walking with people that he ministered to, who saw him feed 5,000, who saw all of these miracles happen, and they are sad because, well, it's over now. He's gone. He got crucified. It's done. And even when the women were telling him he'd risen, said they listened to him as if it was nonsense. So they didn't believe that Jesus had risen from the grave. It took Jesus walking by them, listening to their sad conversation. Okay? And their sad conversation was, "We've forgotten everything that Jesus did while we were among them." It's like God delivered you and you forgot that he delivered you. God blessed you and you forgot. The soonest one little thing goes bad, you say, "I don't know if I want to follow Jesus anymore because the rapture didn't happen."
Woo!
Watch out.
And God is like, These people are the same as these apostles.
Yeah.
They forgot, he's like, Sandy, they forgot everything you preached about.
Everything.
They forgot that Israel was rebirthed in 1948. They forgot that they won back Jerusalem in 1967.
Wow.
They forgot the Jubilees.
Wow.
They forgot that I said two will be in one place, one will be taken, the other one left. They forgot that you're in the last generation.
Mm-hmm.
They forgot everything. I mean, the earliest call I got was 8 o'clock in the morning on October 26th. It was 8 in the morning. And someone got a hold of me to say, well, it's your birthday, and if you're there, I guess the Lord didn't speak to you.
Wow.
And I went, it's starting.
Yeah,
I was like, oh my God, and we're off. Here goes 2010 again. And I'm like, I even told everyone I had problems even telling you guys.
Yeah.
And I was trying to discuss it with God, but I didn't want to. So, but I know this. Look, what I wrote in the letter, people who are looking for the rapture aren't all in love with Jesus. So I look back to see how far this lady had been following us. And it's been like since February of 2020. So that's not too much. That's not too far. So somehow in the middle of that, she heard about the rapture and she got in. And then she started following S4C. She started looking up other stuff. And then she was awake.
Yeah.
And then she's hearing, okay, oh, the rapture's going to happen. And you, I'm saying this. If someone wants to get married, right? And you ask that young lady, are you more in love with the fact you're going to have a beautiful wedding or the person that you're marrying? And if they say, I want my wedding.
Mercy. Dump her.
I want my dress.
Dump her.
I want my wedding. I want my ring.
Dump her.
I want all my friends to be there. Because what if he says, I still want to marry you, but I would just want it to be just me and you and a priest or and a minister. Are you still willing to marry him, or are you so in love with the wedding that you've realized you're not really in love with the guy? You're in love with the fact that he asked you, and now you're going to give a big party.
Yeah.
And so the Lord has let me know there's some people that are in the rapture game like that. They can't. The whole thing is about the rapture, the rapture, the rapture. And then if the rapture doesn't happen, then it's like, okay, well, when I'm done, I'm not following Christ no more, because I could just see, like, it's not even a true doctrine. And then they start looking for other people that tell them the rapture is not real. And then they move on to that.
Right.
And then you end up like, and then they get a hold of me, like someone did, and said, there are people that are leaving Christ because you're telling them about the rapture. And then when it doesn't happen, they're so discouraged that they don't want to even follow the Lord anymore. So they just walk away from Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And this is your fault, Pastor Sandy.
And I thought
about it, and I almost felt guilty for a minute, but I thought, if you can walk away from Jesus
just like that,
because the rapture didn't happen, what were you in love with?
Amen.
Right.
I don't know. I'm sitting here thinking,
amen.
Okay?
Stop marrying a man for his money.
Right.
And I think Jesus would know if you're a gold digger.
Right. Right. Amen.
And the Lord is like, you know, sometimes I have to do this. Like me, sometimes I'll preach on once saved, always saved as being a false doctrine. You know why? Because I'm getting too many friends on Facebook. So I'll preach on once saved, always saved is a false doctrine. Then I'll get about 60 or 70 or even 100 that'll say, oh, I thought you believed in once saved, always saved. That was the reason I started following you, but if you don't believe that we're saved this way, then you don't believe in Jesus, and blah, blah, blah. And then, so I lose about 60 to 100 people every time I preach that once saved, always saved is a false doctrine.
Amen.
Okay? But I do it purposely. So I'm thinking, does God do this, like, to weed people out?
Yes.
And I'm not saying he does.
Yes.
But I'm saying he knows who's
gold
diggers. I don't like using that word, but I think God would know if you're a gold digger or not. Okay.
I love it. Thank
all right.
You. I love it.
Okay, so let me let me finish reading this. Okay. It said, but we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem. And what is more, it's the third day since all this happened. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. And they came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels. He said, who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. He said to them, how foolish you are. Jesus is talking to them. How foolish you are. And how slow to heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken.
Yes.
Did not Christ have to suffer these things, then enter glory? And began with Moses. Then he began with Moses and all the prophets. He explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. So now he's starting to teach them the Bible. The Bible told you all these things that was coming, and I already did it. And here you are walking about. You forgot everything that I preached to you. You since you don't read the Bible for yourself, you don't know what the prophet said. So now you don't believe it. And so it comes to be a heart matter. So he goes, how foolish. And so Jesus says, how foolish you are. And how slow to heart to believe. Those are not compliments.
No.
Okay? Verse 28. And they approached the village which they were going. And Jesus acted as if he was going further. But they urged him strongly, stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over. So he went to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were open and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. He's in a resurrected body.
Yeah.
I'd be like, see you later, Pastor Ben. Do you understand? He's in a resurrected body.
Yes.
It's like, I'm leaving now. And Jesus died to be the first fruit of everybody who's going to have a resurrected body.
Yes.
He broke some bread. He ate. He does all these things because he's in a body that can't die but has some different powers than any other body. So now he's in a resurrected body. And his concern is that now those who believe with me are going to get a body like mine. So when God brings that bride to heaven, there'll be flesh of my flesh, bone of my bone. They'll be just like me.
Yes.
And then you'll be a suitable wife. You understand? So, as I was reading this, the Lord was saying, this is a very sad occasion, and sad. I don't know if the Lord was sad for me, but I got two letters that I shouldn't have. I got letters, messages that I shouldn't have got, and especially if you know me for a long time, you know, okay. Pastor said he's not preaching the rapture, and you know, like go and sell your motorhome and
right.
give me, you're like me that money. Guy who was doing the July thing. He made $92 million. Then he died. I mean, to preach it, he's preaching rapture and using it to make money. So now you got $92 million. He made $92 million swindling people, talking about the rapture in I think 2011 in July. And then, you know, when the whole thing was over, he had all the money and then he died. And I'm like, wow, well, that was a waste. So This is not something that you play with. This is not something that you play games with. Mm-hmm. This is, you have to know the record of ministry that I'm in and that I'm not in ministry to make money. I can, me and Pastor Ben, if we got a job, if we just got a job at McDonald's, we would make more. I'm just telling you the truth. Okay, and I'm not talking about manager of the fries. I'm just talking about in the regular line, you know, can I help you? Welcome to McDonald's. Okay, I don't mean to tell your business, but I'm just letting you know, like, this is not for that. Okay? This is ministry. Okay? This is ministry. Nope. Some people, if you don't know me, when I was doing prison ministry, Drea knows how serious I took prison ministry. So you don't know my character. You don't know that I'm there for souls. I'm there for Jesus. You never sat on the rock, which they call solitary confinement, or see me sitting on a cold floor talking to somebody about Jesus for 2 hours. Because they don't have chairs in there, and I'm sitting on a cold floor and talking to them about Jesus. And so I'm not saying that to brag. What I'm saying that is people have records of ministry, and then as soon as the rapture don't happen, you go, you're not called, you're a false prophet, you're this, you're this, you're that. And you start accusing them, and you don't know their record of ministry or their relationship with Jesus Christ. Okay?
Amen.
So don't do that. And don't let the rapture be more important. So the Lord said, like, this is what they forgot. Okay, now watch this. It says, I'm on page 2. Okay. As born again Christians, if you've been following S4C, you would know this. The nation of Israel was reborn in 1948. And in Psalms 48, it says, when you see this happen, know that this is the Lador Acharon, which in Hebrew is the last generation. So when I'm preaching to you, I realize that the Bible told me when I see Israel rebirth, you're in the last generation. All I have to do is find out how long the last generation lasts. And then I'm supposed to know, and I didn't get that scripture, but Jesus is talking to the Pharisees and he's upset with them because he says, because you did not know the time of my visitation. He's like, you should have known when I was coming. Why? Because the scriptures told you when I was coming. You can go back in the Old Testament and you can look at scriptures that will tell you exactly when Jesus is coming. When Malachi was over, from Malachi to John the Baptist was 400 years, and then Jesus came. Moses, there was 400 years of slavery, and then Moses came to free them from the Egyptians. So they knew that it was going to be 400 years after Malachi that Christ was going to come. So they should have known that. In Ezekiel, it says, when you see him coming humble, riding upon a donkey, this is the Messiah. Jesus comes into Jerusalem, yep, riding on a donkey, and all the people are calling him the Messiah. Saying, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. They're praising him. And the Pharisees are standing there, and they say to them, stop them from saying this. And he says, if they be quiet, the rocks will cry out. And now, at the time of his crucifixion, they don't even know or understand that he's the Christ, even though all this stuff has happened in front of them. And so all this stuff I've been preaching gets nullified because of something I didn't want to say, but I said it. But now it's, okay, that means because the rapture didn't happen on Pastor Sandy's birthday, that means Israel wasn't reborn in 1948. 1967, they didn't win back Jerusalem, you know. And then, you know, and there's no last generation, and two is in one place and one is left in the other. All that stuff doesn't exist anymore. Why? Because you were wrong, and so everything is wrong, and I'm going back into the world. And I'm like, so foolish of heart and slow to believe.
Yeah.
What did you believe in? Okay.
Amen.
So here we go. Let me finish this. Okay. So it says the nation of Israel was born in 1948. 19 years later, according to prophecy, in 1967, they got back Jerusalem. This is prophecies that have happened. Okay. God raised up a man to keep us in understanding of these things. He showed him the 6,000 years in ending in 2017. And I have a perfect count of the 6,000 years ending in 2017. Name me a scholar, I've sent it to him. And I say, if it's not correct, get back to me. Okay? It says many thought the rapture would happen that year in 2017. Then when there was not a rapture in the 70th year, 2018 and 19, remember it was like, oh, it's 70 years now.
Yeah.
So May 14th, we're out of here, right?
Right.
When it didn't happen then, by Israel's birthday, it says, God gave him the understanding of the 120 years and the importance of Noah and the flood. Just as he said, a worldwide judgment happened in 2020, which was the 120th year. But we had a president that would not let evil prevail. Understand that. In 2017, we had a president that was fighting against the system. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That told Hillary Clinton, if I was in charge, you'd be in prison. I had never heard a president say that. He told Hillary, if I was in charge, you'd be in prison already. Then he makes this big statement. We are, as a administration, we are looking forward to bringing an end to child pedophilia and human trafficking in the world. And he started doing it. People started getting arrested and going to jail, actors, and this whole thing. So he's fighting against the system. Now, if you're not watching, you don't know that this. Here, let me see. Okay. But we had a president that would not let the evil prevail. Then on the 17th of Heshvan, okay, he's president. But on the 17th of Heshvan, which is the same day that the flood started, Donald Trump was put out of office. Then it says, it was evil for 40 days after that. And then after the 40 days, they confirmed that Donald Trump is out. Nobody cheated. It was fair election. He's out after 40 days. After the 40 days, it says, but the ark came to a stop on the 17th of Nisan. And we remembered that Jesus had been resurrected from the grave with all power in his hand. On the 9th of Av, a raven was released on August 16th, which God told Pastor Sandy, the 9th of Av is August, it's not July. And then the raven got released on the exact day that he gave me. Then the next week, he said something's going to happen in Israel. And it happened exactly as he said. Okay. So now we have to go back and say that doesn't matter anymore. Okay? Then it says, surely now, the dove, when we got to the dove part, we said, surely now, the dove will be released and not come back, and we will get off the ark, and then the rapture will happen. Good common thinking as far as scripture, but it didn't happen. This, because it didn't happen, there's no reason to abandon ship.
Right.
You're going to jump ship. You're still on the same boat. If you're not a Christian, you're still in a world that you got to wear a mask, you got to get a shot. 666 is coming and they're going to cut your head off. Right. You're still there. So you can either stay on the boat with us and wait till God says come off. Or you can jump ship right now and just jump into the ocean and see how the sharks treat you. but one or the other, you're going to have to make up your mind. Am I in this to follow Jesus? And am I in this as a watcher? Mm-hmm. Or am I in this as... What's that word?
An escape artist.
Yeah. You're trying... I try to talk about things and not really talk about anybody in particular, but you can't call me and tell me that you're excited about the rapture, you're excited about the rapture, and then I talk to your wife and then your wife tell me something completely different. You can't do that. You know what I mean? To me, it's like something's mentally not correct in thinking.
Right.
Because you can't. I'm really concerned because your wife is your first ministry. Jesus' bride is his first ministry. How I treat my bride treats your wife as Christ treats the church, right?
Yes.
So, and who died for her and was a servant to her, he was always, what can I do for you, honey? Can I wash your feet? Can I feed 5,000 of you? Jesus was their servant. He even said, I am here. Who's the greatest among you? It says, but I am here as a servant, right? So that's how God is with his bride. So you can't tell me you're rapture ready and you're all this, and then, you know, you yell at your bride and you talk to her in a way, and then I have to find out from the other side, and then, because, you know, they'll call me and say, I know you just talked to my husband, but I just called you back to talk to you for a second. And I'll be like, she's like, can you listen for a little bit? And I go, yeah. He's really excited. He loves you, Pastor Sandy. He loves the rapture. He is so excited about the rapture. And he said, but, you know, he hit me last week. And I was, was this the first time? No, he's done it before. You know, he keeps saying it stop. He always talked to me real crazy, though. And then, you know, then he'll be like, yeah, but you don't want to go to church with me. And the reason I don't want to go to church with him because the way he treats me at home. And then, you know, and it's like, this conversation. And it's like, mentally, you're disconnected from what rapture is.
Right.
And I just wish I could get the whole rapture group together and go, live for Jesus,
yes.
Walk like Jesus,
yes.
Talk like Jesus, treat people like you know Jesus.
Yes.
And don't talk to me about the rapture until you get that straightened out.
Amen.
And so, I'm not disqualified.
No.
Someone wants to say, oh, that disqualifies you. And I know the scripture says, if a prophet says this, that the Lord said this, and it does not happen, he has spoken presumptuously.
Mm-hmm.
But if a prophet says, God has said this, and it is in opposition to the word of God, he is a false prophet.
Right.
Okay? Do not fear him. Okay?
Right.
Another person, he says, this person spoke presumptuously. Like, say you had a dream, and you said, well, the Lord told me to do this, and, you know, and then you went, did it, and it didn't turn out. You spoke presumptuously because you felt like the Lord was leading you.
Yes.
That's presumptuously. God separates the two. But he said, there's a person that I say Jesus is the only way, and he says Jesus is not the only way.
Right.
And he said, that's a false prophet.
Yes. That's right.
Okay. So know the difference between a false prophet and someone who speaks presumptuously before you go. Because that means that, who's the pastor at Calvary Chapel? Chuck Smith. Chuck Smith predicted the rapture. Did you know that?
Yeah.
He predicted the rapture.
Did he?
Yeah. And he said the church was going good, and he predicted the rapture, and it didn't happen. And I don't know if a lot of people left or not.
It was 1980.
Yeah, and it was in the 80s.
Really?
You remember the thing, 88 Reasons for 88?
Yeah. Oh.
Now, they stayed in the desert for the whole generation of 40 years. So the Bible was saying that a generation is 40 years. 1948, 1988, 88 years for 88. Mm-hmm. Thus, here's the book, 88 Reasons for 88.
Wow.
So they selling the book, $29 for this book. And after, in 1988, you could get it at the 99 cent store. But I don't think he was a false prophet. I think he was presumptuous in thinking that 40 years was a generation. Wow. Just as everybody was like May 14th, 2018, 2019, you spoke presumptuously because we're looking.
Yes, watchmen.
You're a watchman. You're supposed to be looking.
9 minutes past it. Stop talking.
Now, no, I'm not going to stop. Now, the Lord told me this. Like, he said, I did something, and you know Hebrew, so you picked up on it right away. I made Trump the president. He made Pence his vice president. And he made his son-in-law, Gerard, the next in line, right? The third guy in line. Trump picks Gerard. You know what Gerard means? Shall come down.
Wow.
Say it again, Pastor. Say it again.
It says, the Trump picks shall come down. Gerard means shall come down. It's the sixth name in the Bible, which is salvation, and it says shall come down. So God is like, is this like an accident, or did I orchestrate it to happen that way? Trumpets, and Gerard, you're going to be in charge. You're the third man in charge, and your name is Gerard in Hebrew. Your name means shall come down. So, but we missed that. Then Trump comes, and he says that Jerusalem belongs to the Jews, which you can only, which is done in the Jubilee year. So if it was done in 1917 and it was done in 1967, and then it had to happen in 2017 and Trump did it. We can't rewind the clock and make all of this stuff not happen so that you don't know that you're living in the last days. You're living in the last days. And we do know that 80 years is the end of that generation only because of in Psalms 90, right? So we know 2028, it just so happens that Psalms 21 to 28 is a perfect replica of the rapture. So we can't back up off of all prophecy because somebody says the rapture didn't happen, so it's all false. That makes me think that you were in it for the wrong reason, that you haven't listened to anything we've said for the last 2 years. And you haven't studied on your own at all. You just like you were in this and somebody got you excited. And then as soon as it went bad, you were like, okay, I'm out. It's like the guy that wants to get on the field, he wants to play football. Oh, I can't wait to get on the field. I'm going to show him what I can do. And then he gets on the field and somebody hits him. Boom! And he falls out unconscious and he's dreaming about being on the sideline drinking Kool-Aid. You know, because it's like you're in it, but you're not in it. You know, you're like, man, the sidelines were beautiful. I wish I would have had this dream to play. You know, if you're gonna be in the game, be in the game, but don't just talk a good game. Live a good game.
Yeah.
How much time I got, Pastor Ben?
6 minutes.
Okay. So I was listening to these guys sing this song about jump ship. And you really, if you know the God you serve, you should know that there's no reason to jump ship. You don't, because trouble comes, you don't jump off the boat. Because they didn't tell you to get off the boat when you thought you were supposed to get off the boat, you don't jump off the boat.
Right.
Because you might not be at the shore yet. You might be just enough far away where the sharks are still there, right? So if you trust God and you know God and you want to put your, and you put all your hope in, and you have a track record of relationship with God, nothing's going to make you jump ship.
That's right. Amen.
Okay. Just talk. So here I'm going to finish up with my favorite scripture. Now, I got to say this. I heard a guy today preaching that there's no pre-tribulation. It's a, say, just a foolish doctrine that people, you know, adopted in 1600s. And, you know, and he's sitting there and he's talking and he's got a suit on. And he looks intelligent, but I'm by the time he gets to the middle of it, I'm laughing at him. I'm like, he can't be that dumb, you know. But he's trying to convince people that, oh, that's what he said. That made me laugh. He said, oh, and see it here. It says two will be, one will be taken and the other one left. So see, those people being taken, they're taken to be destroyed, see? And the people that are left, they're being left because God is going to bring them into the kingdom. And I'm like, so he hasn't studied anything, right? He doesn't know what paralambano is. He doesn't know what left means. And so for those that are still walking around who are taken, he was saying those people being taken are being taken to be destroyed. And you don't want to be part of the people that's being taken to destroy. Now, he has a channel and it's big and he does other stuff on there. But this day he just decided he was going to preach against pre-tribulation rapture and prove to us that God's never coming to take his church or never coming for his bride. And by the middle of it, in the beginning of it, you know, you're getting angry. The middle of it, I'm like, this guy is nuts. You know, I'm not even angry anymore. I'm just like, he's just nuts.
Right.
Okay? Listen. God made it plain. The time for the church to come will be two people in one place. One is taken and the other one left. And this is what I almost forgot, but the Lord said, you were just reminding me. The rapture will separate. The rapture will separate. You don't have to ask me, do I think he's a real Christian or I think they're a real Christian? I'll say to you what the Lord told me today. The rapture will separate who's with him and who's faking it. If you got left, all God is saying is you didn't fool me. But here you have an opportunity to confess my name and still make it in. But if the rapture happens and you didn't get taken, God is just saying, you didn't fool me. I knew what you were doing. I knew what you said. I knew how you treated people. You didn't fool me. You had other people fool, but you didn't fool me. So the day is coming. Why do I say it's coming? Because of over 300 and something prophecies that came true in the Bible on the exact day. Because it not only came true, it came true in the exact way he said it would come true. So when someone's prophesying everything in history and it comes true exactly the way, if he gives you something else, you don't write it off.
Right.
So that day is coming. You understand? It is coming. I know that it's tough to preach rapture. I know of pastors that got fired for preaching the rapture. They were ministers of big churches, but because they were preaching the rapture, they replaced them. So I know it's not a message that most churches are willing to allow you to preach there, because I was explaining to my brother, there's 46,000 Southern Baptist Convention churches in America. 46,000. And they're monitored. So they know what you're preaching. They buy the pastor the home. They know what they're preaching. If it's a mega church, they know what's going on. You got this Elevation Church, all into the same Freemason. But I'm watching the Dove Awards. They got a group there and they went and they go to Elevation Church and he's thanking his pastor. And I'm like, this guy's a Mason that who's your pastor. And all this stuff, but we have to know and understand. Look, you ain't got to worry about it. The rapture is going to tell the truth on everything, okay? So don't get excited about the rapture if you don't want to live for Christ. You know what I mean? Don't do it. And don't try to get Pastor Sandy to quit preaching the rapture. Because I know too much.
Yes.
It would be a huge sin for me to stop because I know too much. And I want you to be ready and I want you to be, and I want to use the word qualified, but qualification is you're in a relationship with God every day. Because see, if I'm treating my wife wrong, the Holy Spirit will tell me. She's like, I don't like the way you said that. Go back and apologize. And if I don't listen and I start quenching the Spirit, like meaning I'm not listening to you no more, I do what I want to do when I feel like doing it, then I'm falling out of relationship. You understand? So the Holy Spirit knows who's who. He knows what's a tear. He knows what's weed. He knows who's faking. He knows who's lukewarm. Someone asked me, is a lukewarm person going in a rapture? Absolutely not. The spit you out of my mouth? That don't sound like you're going to heaven. So I'm just saying, we have to, don't get caught up into other stuff. Be caught up into Jesus and know that he's coming. You can know that he's coming. The scripture says and shows you definitely it's this, the event's about to happen. And so have confidence in that, but don't have confidence because you're in love with that. Have confidence because you're in love with Jesus. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. All right. 120 people saved.